going. Hello and welcome, 8123 podcast.
It's only been a week since the last one. Like we said, we're keeping up with it oh so well.
Yes. Well, we've been bad, but that's because we've been doing a lot of things to get the album ready to come out. Very busy with that. But
would you say this is one of the busiest we've ever been?
Yes and no. Yes, we've done more than ever, but also we're not on tour right now. Generally, we would be on tour, so it would be kind
another
of
another thing,
an extra thing to add in. But I think it made it so we could focus on putting the album out, and then now we can focus on getting back on tour. You know,
yeah.
So
very true.
But our new album XOXO from Love and Anxiety in Real Time is out now, so we figured we'd do a podcast kind of all about that and about the release week and about the reception and everything that goes along with putting an album out. It's been pretty incredible, pretty mind blowing. And, we'll kind of go into a little bit of the behind the scenes, I guess, on all that.
Yeah. Real quick, it still doesn't feel like it's out.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I'm waiting for some, I don't know what, like, but I have this like feeling of like, I feel like I think because we're not on the road, like there isn't shows yet. I still feel like only like this small group of people have heard it.
Yeah.
But that's, and it's just because we've done a couple, like we've done the live stream and then we did like the movie theater thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, those are the people that see it or have heard it. And like the people online that are connecting with it are those people that were there. But, it's funny. I can't wait to like actually play a show and feel it, man.
Mm-hmm.
Feel it back.
So I think an interesting part to talk about first. One of the most challenging things with putting out an album is when we make an album, you know, we make 10 songs, 11 songs, whatever it is. And, we put everything we have into the entire thing, and you think about it as an album, and you sequence it like an album, and then at some point after that's done, you have to pick 3, 4, 2 songs to come out before people hear it as a body of work, and that sucks. Never feels like there's the right answer, and especially with this type of an album where every song kind of does its own thing. You know, it's cohesive to some degree, I guess, but, you know, there isn't one defining song of the album, I don't think.
Yeah. I mean, we definitely knew Sticky was going to come out first.
Yeah.
It could have been just that one was around the longest, so it had the most traction just with people we've shown and stuff. But it always felt like that was like, okay, this will be the thing we kick off the record with, but after that we had no idea.
So I think the biggest thing I was excited about for the release day was that was over. Now you're not just giving an opinion on the album based on hearing a couple of like a sample of it. You know, now you can sit and listen to the whole thing, which is how we still make albums, you know. So that was exciting, and I think that went over better than I imagined. So
I think better than any of our other albums have.
Yeah.
The reaction to the stuff that people hadn't heard was wild. Like almost every, a few of us have done like the whole like comment on what your favorite song is. And what made me the most excited is like, Dirty Pretty Beautiful seems to be the one that has stood out the most, but I mean, Anxiety in Real Time and High Forever and Face Towards the Sun are really close behind that. Like, so it's like the range of what people are excited for isn't just like, okay, they had one more good song on the record. It was like, oh shit, I think I really like this. It seems like people like the whole record.
Yep.
Which you couldn't ask for a better, reception of that. Like, that's what you want. You don't want a couple. You don't want a couple good songs, and then like people are like, "Oh yeah, the rest is okay." It felt like maybe, I think in a cool way, it was like, not on purpose. Like you said at the beginning, like we didn't know what people would want to hear, but it kind of felt like people got like, some of the best stuff was not what they heard before.
Yep.
Which I think that's kind of interesting and cool.
Yeah. And yeah, what's tricky is that, you know, if we wouldn't have put out Lips or Pretender before, that would have been the Dirty, Pretty, Beautiful, yeah, that yeah, or whatever.
Sure. Yeah.
So that's why it's so, until you're like 5 months into playing the songs out at shows,
you don't really know.
You can't, you don't really know what's going to, it's almost like, you know what the songs are for the album once you're done touring the album.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's kind of how it's always been for us.
For
and,
sure.
And then you see what sticks.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, on American Candy, on the American Candy tour, you know, we were playing American Candy, the song, and we were playing
English Girls,
My Hair.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and those are two songs that we don't play that often. We weren't playing Diet Soda Society. We weren't playing Am I Pretty?
And those, we weren't playing on Lost. Three staple, like three staples in our set.
So it is this kind of weird, it's almost like the album kind of just continues to have its moment, like when you've moved on to the next album.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, for sure.
We're now, Numb Without You is forever going to be a song in our set. You know?
Yeah.
That's an interesting thing, I think.
Yeah. Totally. You don't know. And like, it's like, I mean, of course, and it's like also one of those things that, I mean, I'm sure people who have listened to this for a long time, like when we were just Dead Finish, You Were Okay, our reaction was like, this is by far the best thing we've ever done. Whatever. You do it every fucking time.
Yeah.
But as you let it breathe and like experience it with people, you're like, oh, okay, there's a flaw there or whatever. And like, oh, I learned from that. Like, that one didn't do the thing. And so like, this feels more like an American Candy where there's just, because it's kind of all over the place. The excitement is spread between songs.
Yeah.
But yeah, it will be fun to see. Yeah. When we actually do a headliner on this thing, what's the thing?
Yeah.
What's the tune?
Yeah.
Maybe it's all of it. Maybe we did something cool.
So, yeah, I guess a couple other things that I want to talk about. I guess release weekend, kind of what we did and what all went into that. That was cool. And then we'll kind of talk about some of the highlights, I guess, of cool things that happened to us, kind of more so like on the music industry end of things. We'll get to that at the end. So the first kind of thing we did to kick things off as far as like in-person things was we premiered the album at Harkins Movie Theater in Tempe, Arizona. Garrett and me put together a little visual accompaniment to the album.
I don't think we either of us nailed that word.
Yeah, whatever. You guys fucking know what we're saying. So yeah, it was, I guess the word like movie isn't the right term. It was a visual component to the record.
Yeah.
So we did that, and
it was more so to express the kind of feelings. If the song had a video, we just played the video. But everything else, we were trying to tie things together that made it feel cohesive in a weird way. But also, just the feeling we get from the songs, like there's no spoiling here. People have heard the record now, but like Face Towards the Sun, the whole thing ends with like fireworks, and like there's this feeling of like being okay. So it was like we were trying to express like, yeah, like what how we were reacting to the song, what the things we were trying to make people feel, I guess.
Yeah.
And that could be good or bad.
Yeah. And yeah, what ended up being cool, so like this was the first time that anybody had heard the album in full, and they were seeing it with the visuals, and they were sitting down and only paying attention to the album, which is cool, because mm-hmm. I think a lot of times in modern times, you put on an album while you're doing the dishes, or yeah. while you're cleaning your house, or you're going on a walk, or doing whatever, so this was like... I'm sitting down just to experience the album.
Oh, and especially after the year that we all had.
Yeah.
It's like when record, you know, like a lot of the records that came out in the past year, it was like you're at home and you're doing things around the house. Like it, this was a cool way. It was like, okay, things are like starting to get back to normal. Let's all meet up and do this thing together and like all be in the same room and just do the record.
Yeah. So that was exciting, and it felt like people were into it and were having fun, and it was just cool for us to see it all on a big screen like that. It was cool.
Well, I told myself I was like, this is the last time I listened to the record for a long time, and that ended up not being the thing. But I was like, I'm going out like, you know, 2 days before the record comes out with a bunch of our fans. This will be like peak like. Coolest thing to experience the record like, and I was like, that's it, I'm not gonna listen to it anymore. And then of course we did the pop-up shop and we played the record at the pop-up shop, but in my head I was like, I'm gonna go out in the movie theater. But it was cool. Another cool thing about that was doing the Q&A right after, so you're getting instant reactions of like how people felt. Yeah. And like just like kind of broad, like someone said it was like it felt psychedelic and yeah. stuff, and I'm sure that had to do a lot with the visual stuff. But it was like, oh, that's not, you got that out of that.
Not what I thought it was. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's like, cool. Like, if that's your thing, or like, people threw like 80s references and stuff. And I was like, oh, okay, I can get that one more. Yeah. Just the way the production on the record is. But yeah, it was cool to just like, so, you know, a few hundred people sit down and say how they felt about it.
Yeah.
And seeming excited.
Yeah. And then then we did the pop-up shop in LA, which was really cool. You know, doing pop-up shops has kind of become a thing.
Say it. I think you're going to say tradition.
Tradition. it has, I guess. Since American Candy, it's something that we've done every time an album's come out, and I think this was our best one yet
by far.
I
think we went so above on kind of accidentally, just like Tim and you found like the perfect spot to do it. But, we made little rooms that were like, kind of like the music videos. And I think people were like, we wanted people to go and like go in them and take photos. But a lot of people, it was like an exhibit almost.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we're like, no, you could like go in, like sit at like the April 7th. House and then like the lips video with the camera and the TV and like take your photo on the TV, and it was just like it turned more into people just being like immersive
cool,
in a different
cool to see. Yeah,
yeah. And we're like, no, get in there. Yeah. Like
take a photo. Yeah. Yeah. And then we did a meet and greet with everyone, which was sweet and kind of the first time we had done that in 2 years. So
it made me realize how like exhausted I get doing. It's like it's such an easy thing, but like saying hi like over and over for an hour and a half, you're like, damn, that like kind of kicked my ass.
Yeah,
it's like it's something we're so used to for 15 years doing it kind of pretty often.
Yeah. You're
like, oh, I gotta like maybe when I'm home, I need to like sit and
say hi
to Fallon like for an hour and a half straight. Yeah.
And then here's where things get crazy. Last thing we did for the weekend was the live stream show. So I would imagine that everybody that's listening to this watched it by now, but, it was on a rooftop in LA. So, you know, it was just an empty roof. There was no power, nothing up there. So we had to bring all of the lighting equipment, all of the band equipment, all of the sound equipment, all of the camera equipment, and then the live streaming equipment to broadcast it, you know, out to people, and generators to run the power for all of this stuff. So, mm-hmm. I mean, there was a lot that we needed to have to make it happen. So, and yeah, it was on the 8th story of the building, or I guess the roof of an 8th story building.
Yeah.
So we'd go up to the 7th floor with all the gear, and the elevator wasn't very big, so it took tons and tons of trips. And then you would and then there was a flight of stairs from there. The elevator obviously didn't go up to the roof, so then you had to carry everything up a flight of stairs. Just to give you a general idea, I mean, some of these cases were 350 pounds, 400 pounds. One of the generators was 500 pounds. And then it was crazy hot up there.
Yeah.
And, you know, we started loading in at 10 a.m. and we loaded everything out at around like 11:30 at night. So it was
13 and a half hours.
A 13 and a half hour day, pretty much nonstop working on stuff. But it looked epic. It turned out awesome.
I'm really proud of all the live stream stuff we've done to make them feel so different. And that was a really cool way to cap that. I mean, I'm sure we'll do more. That's kind of what will happen. But
we'll do them now in a different way.
Yeah.
We did. This is the last one that we had to do because we couldn't go on tour.
Yes. Other ones will definitely be a different experience. But to cap off, like, we're playing live, like, it could totally fucking shut off right now. If anyone watched the Forever Halloween one, you can understand. to cap that experience off that way, I think it was really cool and really, like, all that hard work. Like, when we were actually playing, it, like, just, like, everything got nailed. Like, we really wanted the sun to be going down as we were playing. And, like, we happened to be there 2 days early to, like, get ready for stuff, Papa Shops, all the other shit. And it was like, ooh, we need to push back a little bit because it's still, because we were going to start playing at 7, right?
Yeah.
That's the initial plan. But, I mean, I got there before LA before you did, and I called you, and I was like, hey, it's 7 right now, and it is bright as fuck. Like, we need to push everything a little bit. And, you know, just thinking about it a little bit and, you know, pushing things a half an hour, it just nailed it. So, like, the last two songs were totally in the dark. Halfway through the set, it was, like, really creeping down. And, yeah, it was pretty special.
Yeah. And when you're on tour and you're 5 shows in, even your third show in, you start to feel really comfortable with the set. But the first couple shows, the first show, you're thinking about so much while you're playing. You're especially on a thing like this, where we played 5 songs off the new records. We had never performed in front of people before. It's very nerve-wracking, and we've done it right before. We've done it wrong before. You know, so this time I think we did it right. You need to have 2 more days of practice than what you probably actually need and what you think you need, just to get it, like, cemented in your mind.
For sure.
You just really need that. And we did that this time, and I felt really good about how we played.
I feel like we've done whatever. This isn't a work ethic podcast, but, like, we've done it twice really well. That this time for this live stream and before the Can't Stop Fest.
Yeah.
We practiced our ass off for that.
Yeah.
And I think we were really prepared. And, like, both times, I mean, I just now watched the stream for the first time since. And I was like, fuck. Like, we nailed it for, you know, first time some of these songs. You're right. A couple extra days goes a long way. Even if you're like, God damn it, do we have to play Misery? Do we have to practice Misery again?
Yeah.
And you just do it and get you just. Yeah, it's, you it's just all about the flow it. Of things and like getting and like, and it's crazy because we've been talking about, like, set list for Set Summer and, like, nailing things, and, you know, we've learned over the years that, like, doing certain songs in certain places can make something feel slower or faster. And I was worried about sticky after bad behavior being feeling slow. And then you're like, nope, you know, John's going to talk right there. It's going to feel great. And then during the set, you nailed, you were totally right. And it was like, oh, it feels fucking great. Like it felt so good. But yeah, it's just like, you know, having done it as many times as we have now, it's like, oh yeah, okay, cool. We can do this and it can feel really great. Cool. Yeah. And new.
Yeah. So that was awesome. And then, you know, there was a couple really fun, cool kind of music industry behind the scenes things that were kind of all happening. And, I don't know. There are a lot of things that we do. You know, we like DIY everything, you know. So for years and years, it's kind of like there's things that we wanted that we haven't gotten opportunities for. So we kind of do our own kind of a version of it that we can control, you know, when 100%. Like,
you have an example?
Yeah. So, like, I feel like it always feels really big and exciting when a band has like a billboard from Spotify in Times Square, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh shit, like that must mean that like people are super into this or something, you know. You know, and that's something that they've never been willing to do for us or whatever. It hasn't happened, you know. So we would do things like, or around the announcement of the album, just buy our own billboard in Arizona.
Yeah.
Which is a lot cheaper. you know, so that's kind of like our version of doing that, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And then this time we actually had the real deal. Mm-hmm. So that was exciting. And then, you know, wanting to do like a radio takeover where you play a bunch of songs from the record, you know, we would kind of do like a podcast version of that in the past or on like an online radio station or something.
Mm-hmm.
Where this time Alt Nation was awesome enough to actually do that with us. And we were able to premiere Hype Forever and, you know, play a bunch of songs. And,
yeah, that felt crazy.
And on and on. So it feels like, yeah, kind of everything we've been working for is kind of all coming together. And then like we were hoping that Sticky would hit like top 15 on alternative radio. And that happened, you know, the day after the album came out. So just like the timing was like absolutely perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we got asked to play this huge show with The Offspring for Alt 98.7 in LA, which was like playing like these bigger, like festival things like that at the football stadium. That all like came pretty much right before the album came out. So it seems like, I don't know, momentum is going in the right direction and, a lot of things happening at one time. And, that's exciting.
Well, it's really cool. 'Cause it's like I was saying before at the beginning of like, it doesn't feel out, but these have all been like those like pinch me moment things. It's like, what is happening? And it's just, we're also lucky that it's happening when it is. Like, we've had time to feel like what it's like to be in a band.
Yeah.
And like feel like things going up and things going down and whatever. And like, it's just, it's cool to be like at the age and the how long we've been doing it, that we have the opportunity to do it, but also that, you know, we can keep our heads on straight and not like, you know, it's fun to see and fun to hear all this stuff, but it's like, you still keep your, you know, you still get to work hard and you still like, want to prove something more and whatever. It's like, I don't really know, but it's all of it's fucking amazing and really cool. Like,
yeah,
it's, you couldn't ask for, you know, more.
Yeah. Oh, and I don't know, the fact that people on our eighth album, that you guys still care about the new music we're making, is, it's such a rarity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many bands you know, their first two albums are the ones that people care about, mm-hmm. and they play anything else from that, anything else past that, and it's like no one has even heard it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I remember when we first started, and our lawyer was like, we did the Fearless. What was the, it was like five records with Fearless.
Yeah.
We were supposed to do. And he was like, it doesn't, like, whatever, just sign that. Cause it doesn't matter. You're not going to make five albums. Like, and he was just being really, cause that's literally like, that's every band. Like that just doesn't happen. And here we are in eight and you know, we're like, oh, we always talk about it. It's like it, you and me do this thing. Like when things go well after the record comes out or whatever, we're feeling optimistic. It's like, oh, hey, we get to make another one.
Yeah.
It's like, as long as we keep saying that, it's like, it will happen.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And it's one of those, it's one of those things that it just, it makes us excited to keep going and keep doing it because it feels like there's a purpose for us doing this. It doesn't feel like we're like a legacy band where you just go on tour to play the old stuff and then you put out albums because that's just kind of what bands do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're putting out albums to be the best albums that we've ever made.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what we did with this one. So, we can't thank you enough for supporting this thing and being a part of the journey. And we're going to keep, we're going to go back. We did that Can't Stop, Won't Stop episode. I don't know.
Last week.
Yeah. So we're going to keep going through all the records up until this one. We'll probably wait to do that version of the XOXO thing for maybe a year from now when we see how things shake out, you know, see what ends up being the favorite song, the underrated song, the fan favorite, the live favorite, the one that's going to be on the set list for life. That is all to be seen, you know.
Yeah. But we could do like a breakdown or something from it. So you guys can get a little bit more backstory stuff on the actual making the songs. We'll do the full breakdown thing when we have time to see how the truth. Well, when we can see the truth.
Yes. Sweet. Well, thank you all for listening, man. Good to be back, and we'll see y'all at Sad Summer.
Bye.